I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Peter Jorgensen joins me again. The acclaimed award-winning actor, producer, director, and choreographer has a brand new review opening this week. It's called Rodgers and Hammerstein's Out of a Dream, conceived and directed by Mr. Jorgensen. The review features the timeless and recognizable music and lyrics of Richard Rodgers and Oscar Hammerstein II. I'll get Peter to tell us about this show, what's in it, the cast, and more. It runs at the New York Theater beginning the 5th of February, running until the 16th. Visit theculch.com for tickets and information. We'll also reflect on the shows by Rodgers and Hammerstein, some of the 20th century's most celebrated works, from Oklahoma to The Sound of Music. Mr. Jorgensen finds inspiration from the canon and offers us a romantic selection in this show. Peter Jorgensen was on last summer, just as the smash production of Avenue Q he directed was to begin. This new review is produced by Patrick Street Productions, which Mr. Jorgensen co-founded. Visit peterjorgensen.com for more and theculch.com for tickets and information. Please welcome back to the Plant on the Line program Peter Jorgensen. Mr. Jorgensen, good morning.
Hello, how are you doing?
Pretty good, yourself?
Excellent.
So we talked last, I guess that was in June, just before Avenue Q opened. That was a huge smash, wasn't it?
It was incredible. The success was, it just kept going and going and going, and it looks like, I can't say for sure, but, I think they're hoping for maybe a comeback next season sometime.
Yeah, so it was held over.
Three times.
Yeah, and I understand at one point you had to step in, right?
Yeah, I did, because it was held over so much. The last 2 weeks of the run, Scott Bellis wasn't available to do those final 2 weeks, so I stepped in and did his parts of Trucky Monster and Nikki and a Bad Idea Bear. It was great fun.
Well, what do you think that says about the audiences in this city? From my own personal experience, I know of at least six people that went who don't usually go to the theater but went because of the show.
Well, that's the amazing thing about Avenue Q is that it reached way beyond your average theater goer, and there were people who had literally never been to any kind of theater ever before who were going to that show, which is fantastic. It's fantastic for the entire theater community, I think, because maybe if they had such a good time at that show, maybe they'll go back and try out something else another time. So I was really, just overwhelmed by the success of that production. It was really terrific.
So this new production of yours, Rodgers and Hammerstein Out of a Dream, this is something that you alluded to when we talked last year. This is something that you created yourself, right?
Yeah. I over the years I've been kind of learning to appreciate their work more and more, and I felt like as someone who's, a musical theater junkie and, almost everything I do is in musical theater, I needed to take some time to get to know these two artists and the work they created, because they really changed the entire landscape for musical theater when they got together and started working on Oklahoma. And it's been really remarkable to spend a great deal of time with their work, sitting down with cast recordings and their biographies and just sitting down with the music and looking at the scores and seeing how Richard Rodgers constructed his melodies around Hammerstein's lyrics. My appreciation for their craftsmanship and their artistry has grown exponentially.
So in the course of your research, did you find out that he wrote the lyrics first and then Rodgers came in with the music after?
Almost all the time. Huh. It wasn't 100% of the time. Occasionally, Richard Rodgers would say, I've got this song that I think would be really right for these characters in this situation here, and then Hammerstein would go and write the lyrics. So, for instance, in Oklahoma, I believe people will say we're in love. Richard Rodgers actually wrote the music first, and then Hammerstein set the lyrics to it afterwards. But everything else in that show, Hammerstein wrote the lyrics first.
So before they got together, I guess Oklahoma, that was in the 40s, right?
Yeah.
So before they got together, though, Rodgers had a bit of a significant career as a writing music with Lauren's Heart, and then Hammerstein also had a bit of a career. beforehand. I think he wrote the lyrics to Showboat, is that right?
Yeah, they both had huge careers before they got together. Richard Rodgers had success after success writing with Larry Hart. Hammerstein, in the kind of 10 years before he got together with Richard Rodgers, was in a bit of a lull, but he had immense success prior to that. Yeah, he did Showboat. He wrote a lot of American musicals, a lot of American operettas, but had kind of hit a bit of a lull for a while. And Richard Rodgers, I think, had all the partnership with Larry Hart had stagnated. Lorenz Hart was unfortunately was an alcoholic, his productivity just kept diminishing and was got to the point where Richard Rodgers knew that he couldn't continue that partnership. And then Hammerstein and Rodgers got together, and they had both read the play Green Grow the Lilacs, or saw the production of it, which is the play that Oklahoma is based on, and they both believed it would make a great musical. And the rest, as they say, is history.
Yeah. And so they write shows like The King and I, Oklahoma, The Sound of Music. What do you think these shows mean to the American musical theater? I mean, if you look at them now, I mean, some of their songs are performed by symphonies, and I mean, they have a sort of an operatic quality, don't they?
Well, I think that's just the thing. They push the musical form into more serious, sophisticated territory. It was, prior to them coming together, the musical veered more towards musical comedy in the kind of variety vaudeville vein, and they pushed it. They pushed musical theater back towards operetta with what they did, back towards the storytelling. That was their that was where they began. They wanted to start with a story, with a really well told story, and they wanted the music to tell the story. They wanted the lyrics to tell the story. They wanted the dancing to tell the story. They didn't ever want to have a song just for song's sake, which is why Oscar Hammerstein would write the lyrics first, because they didn't want to kind of force the lyrics on, into a situation. He wanted the lyrics to be really true to the character. There was an interesting quote, I can't remember who said it, that prior to Oklahoma, in musical theater, when you heard the lyrics, you heard the lyricist's voice in the lyrics, but after Oklahoma, you heard the character's voice in the lyrics. I think that's really true. They started writing for character, for story, and so in that way, they really created contemporary musical theater, which is why it was really important for me to get to know them as artists and what they did. Because without them, I'm not sure what we'd be looking at today with musical theater. I know someone would have come around and reinvented the wheel at some point, but they made so many brave moves with musical theater, and obviously they did it at the right time too, because it was appreciated and picked up on, and really, as they say, it sparked the golden age of musical theater. So
in Out of a Dream, it's called a review. So for people that don't know what that is, what is a review?
Well, a review veers away. It's not a narrative. It's not a particular storyline to follow. There is an arc to the evening, but a review really is about exploring the canon of a certain artist's work. So it's all songs from their shows. I pick songs that there's at least one song from all 11 shows that they collaborated on, all their major shows, all their secondary shows, and all what is considered their flops. So that people can, it's really a tribute to their work. That's really what I was trying to create, a piece that paid really lovely, loving tribute to who they were, the spirit of their pieces, and the craftsmanship of their songs.
I'm assuming that there were more songs that you wanted to have included but couldn't.
So many. Yeah. I mean, they had there are so many wonderful songs. So I had to kind of begin with coming up with some sort of framework for the review, because, again, what's important to Rodgers and Hammerstein is that these songs were written within the context of a very particular story and for very particular characters. So it couldn't just be music for music's sake. There had to be some sort of way of contextualizing these songs. So the framework of the show is just the arc of the show kind of follows the arc of a relationship from, you know, meeting and the possibility of love to Love and Bloom, and then complications arise, and there's separation, and then we end up with a deeper sense of love at the end of the show. So within that, I picked songs that fit within that framework, and then, you know, among the five amazing cast members we have, the relationships just kind of shift and evolve a little bit, just to give the audience enough of a sense of kind of how to receive these songs in a theatrical way, not just a musical way.
And these five actors that are in this show, we've seen them in other shows in this town, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Warren Kimmel and Katrina Murphy were actually just the Mr. and Mrs. Banks in Mary Poppins. I worked with Katrina a number of times. I always appreciate her as a singer and an actress. She's fantastic. We have two younger performers, Kazumi Evans, who actually stepped into the role of Christmas Eve halfway through the run of Avenue Q, and Sayer Roberts, who just won an Ovation Award for his performance of Curly in Oklahoma for Royal City Musical Theater. And then the last performer is Kaylee Harwood, who audiences would probably remember her best as Cassette when the Arts Club did Les Miserables, and her career has really taken off. She spent a season at Shaw. She spent a season at Stratford and then went with the Beauty's Great Superstar Company to Broadway and just finished a season at the Shaw Festival. And so she's back for this show, and then she heads back to the Shaw Festival right after this show's done. So it's really nice to have her back here to do the show with us.
Have you got a favorite Rodgers and Hammerstein song?
It's tough. There's so many that I appreciate in different ways, but we do... In the show, we do the entire, what's known as the bench duet from Carousel, which is it's like a 13-minute scene where Rodgers and Hammerstein wove the scene from little bits of dialogue through recitative, through, and then, you know, expanding into the song, If I Loved You. And it's just so remarkable to me. It's such a journey that they take us on, and you really, you know, in the way they've constructed it, you can't help but love these two characters and want desperately for everything to work out for them. It's amazing writing, and as I often say, you can write differently from Rodgers and Hammerstein, but I don't think you can write better than Rodgers and Hammerstein. And particularly when you look at a scene like that, it's almost perfection for me.
And did you see that, I guess it's called Six by Sondheim, the HBO thing on...
I loved it!
Yeah, and I was struck by I didn't know that. I mean, I knew that he knew Hammerstein, but I didn't know how close a relationship it was. It was almost like a surrogate dad type deal, right?
Oh yes, very, very, very much so. And Stephen Sondheim, you know, kind of from the time he met Oscar Hammerstein, ended up, you know, meeting, you know, Richard Rodgers' family as well, and he was good friends with Richard Rodgers' daughter, Mary Rodgers, and they kind of grew up together. And then Mary Rodgers had a son named Adam Gettle, and that was, again, part of the reason for creating this review, because we're doing Floyd Collins later in the season, which was composed by Adam Gettle. So we liked the connection between him and his grandfather, Richard Rodgers, and seeing that lineage there, but also that both Richard Rodgers and Adam Gettle have the same creative spirit with musical theater, which is to kind of help push the form into uncharted territory and to continually ask what can music do to help express the story and express the characters and reach into further, deeper, richer places than it has ever done before.
Now, Floyd Collins, you're doing that at the York as well?
Yes, coming up in March, and it's just an astonishing piece of musical theater, really remarkable. Can't wait to get going on that one, too.
Yeah, what's it like working at the York?
Well, we're just loading in today, so I'm just sitting in my car outside the theater, and they're hanging the lights. We're really excited about being at the York. It's a beautiful little venue. I think this Rodgers and Hammerstein review is going to fit beautifully in the venue because it'll feel really intimate. You know, it's got an orchestra and a balcony, so there's lots of seats that you know allow the audience to be right up close to the actors. And you know, it was intended to be a theater. It was built in 1913, and has had a long life as a theater. And it's great that it's been restored, and that the city has this new venue. And it feels right for us, for our first show there, to be something that reaches back in history a little bit. I think it's going to be a really lovely evening, particularly at this venue.
Yeah, I was there for the Charlie Demers pantomime. Mm-hmm. Over Christmas. It is a really nice building, you know, and the way that they've done the inside and then the sort of foyer that's sort of new out there.
Yeah, it's, and it's, what's also great about it is it's, you know, it's on Commercial Drive, so it's close to, you know, coffee shops mm-hmm. and restaurants, and, you know, for anyone listening, we've got a great dinner theater package with Federico's Supper Club, which is just up the road on Commercial, you know, so it's a great place for a theater, and it's a great venue, and we're looking forward to making it our kind of home base for our productions.
Peter, it's been nice talking again. Break a leg, as they say.
Thank you very much. Always great.
The website's for more, peterjorgensen.com and patrickstreetproductions.com for tickets, thecult.com. Peter Jorgensen joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plunton.